I'd like to call the board meeting to order. And on my far right is Greg Gusty. And on my immediate right is Kelly Gant from Trinity Center. And I'm John Corbett from McKinleyville. To my immediate left is Jeff Hales. And to his left is Greg is Jeffrey Hales of Eureka, and then we have a new board member, Hector Bedoya. And I thought I'd ask Hector, because he's new, to say a few words about himself, and we want to make sure he's welcome on board.
Good morning, native of the North Coast.
How do you spell your last name, sir?
Hector Bedoya, capital B-E-D-O-L-L-A.
Thank you.
So, native of the North Coast, I grew up in Yountville, enjoying the bounty of the Napa River and the water quality throughout the seasons, and that became an important part of my life. I went to UC Davis, studied plant science, agronomy, and viticulture, and I've been a vineyard manager for over 35 years in the North Coast. I have enjoyed the bounty of the Russian River and the Klamath River and the Eel River. I'm an avid fly fisherman. And I'm passionate about water quality and the environment that it feeds. And I'm a certified professional agronomist, a crop advisor, I'm here to serve you. Thank you.
Well, welcome on board. We'll call on Kelly Gant to lead the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item on the agenda is board member reports and ex-party communications disclosure. And this item is for board discussion only. No public testimony will be allowed, and the board will take no formal action. So I'll start on my far left with Hector.
I would like to disclose that I'm on the board of the Russian River Keeper. And the Russian River Keeper may provide comments on item number 5. I've not been involved in the development of the position taken by the Russian River Keeper on this item. I'm also an associate director for the Sonoma County RCD. In this role, I do not vote on the RCD board, and I am not an employee of the RCD. It is reasonably foreseeable that a decision on item 5 will result in a material financial effect on the RCD and, in turn, myself or members of my immediate family. I have discussed potential conflicts of interest with board counsel and have been advised that my positions do not prevent my participation in this matter. I have no ex parte communication on this item. I have no bias either for or against the discharges based on my positions at Russian River Keeper or the RCD. Therefore, I will not need to recuse myself from this item.
Board Member Hales? I've been quite active on the Eel River Cigna Groundwater Sustainability Organization, and then also testified before the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors pursuant to an application for exemption. All those comments are personal, and all my votes have been stated to be personal opinion. I also serve on a 501c3 foundation that is raises money for College of the Redwoods. College of the Redwoods is on the consent calendar, but they're totally different. We don't get any money, and they wouldn't give us any. They want us to give them money. And so I cannot see how there's any conflict of interest on that. And then I did want to I will be attending. There's going to be an area of special biological significance for which is a designation the State Board has done for since the 70s for key ocean areas. There's a desire to coordinate that with the California's new Marine Reserve Program, so I'll be going down to a conference on that and probably be a panelist this upcoming. And then I wanted to mention there's a lot of stuff going on about emails and whether your private emails can be subpoenaed or not, and there's a case going up to the Supreme Court. But I want to give everyone caution, because even if the Supreme Court says they are, there's already a lawsuit against another board, and I don't think it's well-founded, but where they're suing the individual board members claiming they're not entitled to legal counsel because they're claiming it's their private email server. So I think as much as we can stay on the existing one, it's common prudence. Lastly, I want to say I made a rookie mistake that I don't think I made for 17 years on the ELK, and I just want to announce that the next time I'll handle a little different so I don't surprise anyone. But when we had a series of well-prepared motions from Board Member Gusti, on one of them was on wet weather, and I asked, oh, what are the provisions of the Forest Practice Act? And he had them tabbed because he's well-prepared. And so I didn't ask him to read them into the record, and because it'd be time-consuming and complex. In the future, any board member that references another piece of legislation, I'm going to ask that that get in the record so it's really clear. And then, like I said, I'm a little red-faced because that's a pretty rookie kind of error, but we all make them, and so I did want to say for myself. And then if we can think of it, and it's very hard because I know I've certainly referenced in statutes and not brought copies of them for the board, but if you can think about it ahead of time, that's helpful too. And with that, I'm going to go to my immediate right, Kelly Gant.
So I attended a water quality permitting and regulation class at UC Davis Extension, just to give me more background in the federal and state regulations and how they work. And in this class was kind of cool because it was all permittees, the people who we regulate, and a lot of water treatment plants and water companies and the state people, and there was one other water quality board member. But it was interesting to sit there with a whole bunch of people who have to deal with all the permits and which ones do they need and the complexity of it and how overwhelmed people are and how to get this done. So it was a very good class, just for an overview for either staff member or new board members.
And I've heard nothing but praise for that program, and I'm trying to get actually on the mailing list to go attend some myself. So
yeah,
appreciate your extra effort.
And that was the largest class I've had a long time. They had 45 people, so they had a packed house. So it was an important topic for them. So thank you.
And Board Member Gusti, and then we'll announce the new board member or our current board member. But just okay. So to my far left is Valerie Minton, and we're at the point in time where we're disclosing ex parte or other communications, and so we wanted to call on you.
Nothing to disclose.
Okay. Our state board liaison will not be here today, and he's working, I checked. He's got a hearing. So, and the next item is the public forum. If you want to speak on the public forum, you should fill out a pink slip. The time to fill it out is very short right now, and I only have one person who wants to comment, and that's Dwayne DeWitt.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you for filling out your card early and often.
Oh, yeah, nothing but a good time. Thank you. My name is Dwayne DeWitt. I'm from Roseland, and I wanted to come and thank you folks for your help last year. Well, over the years, actually. I have brought a document I've had for 24 years. It's from the Southwest Citizens Advisory Committee in Santa Rosa when they came together to begin a public planning process to annex close to 6 square miles, which included my area of Roseland, but Roseland didn't get annexed. It got surrounded into a county island. The reason I'm here today, though, is to thank you, because when I came last year and asked for your board to advocate to put together a chronological account of what had been going on over all these 22 years, you folks did it. And it helped us, myself with a group called the Citizens Cleanup Coalition, put forward an application to the federal government for an EPA, Environmental Protection Agency grant, in what's called brownfields remediation. And we won. $392,000 came forward. It's going to be dispersed early next year, we've been told. That's the first after all these years and all this effort. I don't believe it would have happened if it weren't for the actions that you took to have staff member Rob Dickerson pull together this chronological account, which we then put in there and pointed out that our overburdened and underserved area needed this assistance. So I'm on a Roseland Village Neighborhood Center Advisory Group. I've been on a number of groups over the years, and I'm back here because, not just to thank you, I want to ask for a little more porridge, please. Basically, what it comes down to is we have to continue on this process. If the city of Santa Rosa does annex, they would be eligible to ask for brownfields grants. And this one that's just been granted to the county cannot be used by the county on their 7-acre project at Roseland Village. It can only be around it along the commercial corridor. So I had asked earlier this year if you folks would pull together a forum for us. And folks were kind of receptive to that idea, but we haven't moved forward on it. And so in the new year, with this nice rain coming down and this good stuff happening, there's also pollution. Stormwater runoff is happening from those contaminated areas. No one really knows what's going on in some senses. And land sharks are circling in the water, if you will. People want to get back in there. Some development wants to happen. But no one really knows what, in a sense, is going on. The Water Board can be that kind of objective and unbiased arbiter of information to give to us community members as we talk about what to move forward with. It's been 10 years since we had a Sebastopol Road Vision Plan, which this group came off of. So I'm in it for another 20 to 30 years, but I'd really like to have some stuff done in the next year or two if we could. And it could really happen if you folks would host a public forum about the stormwater pollution, the problems, the brownfields, all the different stuff that you folks have been involved with. Give us the update from the past, talk about what the future may hold, closure of sites. There's a lot of them still open. There was at one time 70 investigation sites. We may be down to about 20 or something. I'm not privy to the inside information. I'm just a guy from the community. But we need your help. I'm asking for it again. And in the spirit of Oliver Twist and Dickinsonian Christmas Carol type stuff, Tiny Tim said, God bless you all. Okay. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Well, I realize you're asking for more porridge than we gave you, but we were gave you a slow count on the clock, so we already gave you some time porridge. But with that, I'm going to call on anyone from the board want to make a
Chair.
Comment?
Dwayne, for one, thank you. You've always been a consistent voice for Roseland. I actually enjoy your article in the West County Gazette that I get. For a free paper, it's amazing. It gives us a check-in, and I always read your article.
Next one will be even better.
Fantastic.
All right.
You are a wordsmith, sir. And here's the thing, and in full disclosure, too, you know, the Sonoma County Redevelopment Commission has the RFP out, request for proposals for the assessment of that area, and my firm is part of that. They started that process. It's not been awarded. There is a process in play right now, as I understand it, Dwayne, that is going to provide assessment and a way forward towards those groundfield cleanup grants. My suggestion is that what you're asking, I think, may be appropriate, but maybe in a larger context, and it may be a bit premature. And what I would like to do is maybe continue the dialogue offline here and see how we could fit in as an agency, because I think there's many players here,
yes,
including the county and City of Santa Rosa for sure, citizen groups such as yourself, interested parties. My recommendation back to you is maybe we could talk offline and talk with executive staff here and figure
yes
out how we can fit into this.
I would like that to happen, sir, because I'm still in the dark. The citizens don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
We're in Silo City is the term we use for Santa Rosa, surrounded by Sprawlville, and they're not really good at communicating out what's going on.
Yeah, and I see things starting to move, but I don't see a coherent and cogent plan going forward.
Yes.
And so I'm a bit reluctant to jump in and just say, hey, let's hold a little forum here. I think let's talk about a larger context and to fit in with as this starts to gel and go forward. But I very much appreciate your efforts and your comments.
All righty. I'll keep stirring that pot of porridge because we got to get
it going.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thank you, Mr.
Chair. And does staff have any comments?
No, don't have any comments. I think that, David, your suggestion is a good one, and we look forward to working with you and Mr. DeWitt on advancing that.
So I'll be back by March. Remember, the Ides of March.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be looking for you, Dwayne.
And then I wanted to call on Brenda Edelman. And I just want to say this will be my last meeting as chair because I'm not going to run for chair again. And so it's sort of befitting that I have Brenda Edelman, who I believe is one of the first people who spoke before me. And I want to thank you for all your diligent public comment.
Well, I thank you for the acknowledgement, and I appreciate, even though we don't always have the same view of things, I do appreciate the work you've done with the board, and I hope it continues. I basically just want to make a few comments about this. I'm sorry, Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. The issue that I've been extremely concerned about lately is this low flow proposal to lower flows in the Russian River. And there's not much time to go into details, but I've been doing a lot of studying on it, and I see a lot of problems for the lower river. And the biggest problem has to do with nutrients, algae, and toxic algae. And I, for one, would encourage this board to try and look at listing algae and nutrients, especially phosphorus, which exceeds EPA guidelines on every single beach all summer long, for several years running now. And basically, there's all kinds of algae in the river, and there have been incidences of toxic algae, which is becoming more and more of a concern. And I personally, the 303D process is coming up again. I don't think I have, although I could probably contribute, I don't have the capability to get that listed on the 303D list, and I would hope your staff would consider it. I also heard at a presentation that Matt made recently that he was working with NIMS in addressing this issue. The EIR is out now and will be, the comment period's open till February 14th. I would like to suggest that your agency also consider the point of view of the public. And I have written extensively on this. I've been doing a lot of research. And what I've uncovered is that the rationale for lowering flows in the lower river, which is about 45% lowering in the summertime, is basically not going to help anything, that in 6 years of trying to do this estuary project, which is the only reason for lowering flows in the lower river, it has been pretty much an abject failure. There's evidence in the yearly reports that the water agency does that they're not too optimistic about the success of the project ultimately to help the fish. And basically, to lower those flows would increase the amount of algae and the potential for toxic algae in the lower river, while it would not really benefit the fish, and I've documented a lot of reasons why, but I don't know if you want to give me any time to mention what some of those reasons are. I'm aware of the time limit. One of them is that you can't lower flows very often in May and June anyway, because there's a lot of natural flow that keeps it over the 125 CFS, which is the current minimum flow in May and June. In July and August, the mouth, which is required in order to do the project, the mouth closures generally don't occur much in July and never occur in August. And then in September and October, it's usually too dangerous for the water agency to do the project. So it's really not a well thought out thing. The biological opinion was never subjected to public review. There are a lot of problems with it, and I'm not privy to anything your agency is doing in the writing of your comments or what your perspective is, and I'd encourage you to have a public session on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any board members have comments?
Mr. Chair, may I ask, Matt, I know that staff is commenting on that EIR. Can you just provide at least some kind of indication of where that's at and expectation of delivery of that?
Absolutely. We have a team of our staff that are drafting comments. We have an internal review draft that I've provided my input on. We've met at least two times with Sonoma County Water Agency to discuss our preliminary comments. We also had a meeting that Brenda referred to with Department of Fish and Wildlife staff and NOAA NMFS to coordinate. We've been in discussions with the State Water Resources Control Board about issuing a joint comment letter. And so once we've completed our draft, we're going to share it with State Board to then consider having a joint letter that would come on both State Board and Regional Board letterhead. I'm more than happy, Brenda, to sit down with you and talk about our review and our comments.
And delivery of that, Matt, I know that, you know, we have a February 1st extension
out there.
Thank you.
I missed the punchline. So we will very much meet the deadline. I think the only uncertainty in terms of the timing is the coordination with State Board. We won't let that coordination prevent us from submitting our comments by the deadline.
May I request that since when that deadline comes, that for one, that's a public document. So, of course, distribute it to us and include board members on that distribution.
Definitely do that.
Great. Thank you.
And one real brief addition, the IRSP, and I can't think right now, the Integrated Scientific Panel Report is an incredible document talking about basically all the things that are missing from the EIR and from the biological opinion that includes a need to consider the issues with the tributaries in terms of the fish and the fact that the whole project's been segmented, northern part of the river, the downstream part and the Dry Creek part, and they felt it should be an integrated thing. And I just urge you all to look at that document. It's very well written. It's easy for even a lay person to understand, and you know way more than most of us. So I would encourage, if you haven't already included that, to consider the findings in that document, which was not commissioned by the Water Agency, but it was initiated by the Water Agency. So
we are absolutely incorporating the information from the Independent Science Review Panel's report in our drafting of our comments, and we've invited one of the panelists, Dr. Condolf, actually to come and address our board on the panel's report, and he's agreed, and we're just trying to find which board meeting that'll happen.
Would that be public meeting?
It'll be at one of our board meetings.
I would really look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brenda.
Oh, okay. The next item of business is the minutes of October 20th and November 30th, 2016. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chair?
Can I make one correction?
The minutes?
Sorry.
Well, we have October and November meeting
minutes.
That's
what I was just interrupting you to say. Yeah. So it was an error that we're actually not bringing to you the November 30th minutes because we have not yet completed them.
We were also not provided the October meeting minutes.
So you actually were via email.
If there's a problem, I would prefer just to kick it over to the next meeting.
I'm sorry about that, Matt.
Okay.
I didn't catch that in the email, so yeah. I didn't have a hard copy of those. So.
Well, also the public should have it and so on and so forth. Okay, moving right along on the agenda. our next item.